Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you and our new open. Should get you fired up. 4 hours. We're ready to rock and roll. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Max Herz, man in the board at our Hillside Medical Game Studio. Tim Corbin in the on-deck circle. We'll talk to Corbs in about 15 minutes. Talk about this Vanderbilt football team.
Got the football team?
Did I say football?
Yeah, you did. Oh, big time.
Yeah, okay.
That's how it's going to start.
Repeat first down.
10-01.
First and 15.
Man.
It's like, first pitch of the game. Here's a ground ball to McFarland. It's through the legs in the right field.
First play of the game. False start, McFarland.
False start. Wow. First and 15.
Gosh, man. We're
dig ourselves out of a hole, right?
Oh, my God. Pre-snap penalties kill you every time, Farland.
They kill you.
McFarland, come here.
Errors in baseball. They kill you.
McFarland, come here now. What'd I do, coach? False start.
Are you kidding on the first
You're
play?
You're not ready
first
to play.
Play.
You got to get ready to play.
McFarland, we just talked about this.
Where's your effort and energy?
Oh, man.
Did we have fun yesterday? We have the right effort and energy yesterday?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did. How did you hit them yesterday? I caught you on the way back.
Yeah. Well, I survived, as
yeah,
you saw.
Yeah, you survived.
It was fine. I had a great group.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic group. They were really good golfers. Mm-hmm. Really good guys to hang with.
Yeah.
We had a blast. I don't know where we finished. I don't know who won.
I know who won.
Think we came. We were up there.
Did your
My squad won.
Did they
y'all
really?
Y'all cheated.
I had the ringers, man.
Did y'all you really? Cheated. You guys won?
I don't think they won. No, I don't think they won.
Ask Chase McCabe.
I don't think they won.
Ask the suit.
We won. Well, they had six people on their team.
No.
Yes, we did. Yes, you did.
We had six people. Only,
exactly.
Only five hit. The ball.
Nah, see, we don't know
what
that.
What is that?
Exactly.
Did you have a driver? I mean, what?
I had a security man.
A security?
Had to stay with me. Yeah. I had personal
what
security.
What were they doing? Watching your old golf shoes?
Exactly.
Make sure nobody stole
right.
them?
Exactly. I want to make sure nobody comes after my guy here with the duct tape on his shoes.
Oh, man.
Well, you didn't use those
No,
shoes.
I didn't.
How did the new ones work?
The new ones were good. I don't even know how I played. Let me just tell you. I played with four youngsters, okay, two of which play for Trevecca.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you had college golfers.
College golfers. Now, the older gentleman, who was our sixth man, he was the sponsor. His business sponsored the team. So there was a couple of high schoolers and a couple of college players, all from the Mount Juliet area, and they carried me, man. I was just trying to stay out of the way. They probably used three of my shots, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe five. I mean, there was a couple, you know, everybody putted it right next to the hole. Nobody made it. You know, one of those things. But we birdied or eagled every hole.
Well, you
with
could,
the mulligans.
I mean, you automatically, you know, birdied the hole. Was it birdie or you automatically parred the hole in the tournament?
Well, what was it? You don't three putt, basically,
yeah,
is what the rule is, right? But
yeah,
these guys, it never came to – they were – par five, they're getting to the green, and two, we're putting for eagle every time. These guys were mashers.
See, it should be a limit of ringers, one per team, not four.
Right, not a team of
exactly,
ringers.
Exactly, a team of ringers. Yeah, hell, you might as well just, you know.
Well, when I got there, let me just say, they didn't stop everything. Oh, my gosh. It's Willie. Hey, Willie, let me. They were like, thanks for coming on. We're trying to win this thing.
I couldn't have played with them.
We'll tell you when it's your turn, and then you just hit your ball.
I couldn't have played with them.
Yeah.
I couldn't have played with them. I'd have been like, man, I see y'all after about two rounds. Y'all too serious. And nothing in life that serious when it comes to, you know, sports.
No,
anyway.
They were good guys, though. They tolerated my lack of skill compared
your
to
your insubordination.
Yeah.
I had three guys.
There was a couple of shots that mine were going way into the – like, I hit a couple. I smoked them, but they were just way into the woods. They're like – Hey, good contact.
That's what you say to somebody.
Well struck.
And I'm sitting there going,
the ball's in the river, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I had three guys that they're fantastic guys. Two of them were former Army. Well, not Army, but Marines and Navy, I believe.
Awesome.
And then also one was a retired chief of Brentwood Police. So it was Steve, Jeff, Jared, and Juan. So they were good, man. We had a lot of fun, man. That's the group I like. They were playing music. They didn't shush us when, you know, we were going up the, when they were going up the hit. They had the music banging and they were trying to hit too.
All right.
Yeah. So we had a lot of fun, man. Laughed a lot. So, you know, that's the group I like. We played some really good golf, but still enjoyed it.
I'm with you. That was my group. I mean, they were. I like the way I just inserted myself in there. I mean, I was a part of the team, but yeah, I was kind of like Willie. Like they probably used my shot, you know, a handful of times over 18 holes. But what's funny is I had this conversation with a couple of people. You know, if the three of us were out there playing around, you know, there was plenty of shots yesterday. I'd have been like, yeah. Hey, I just give you guys a nod. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think? What you got? What do you think about that? You know what? After I hit those with this group, I drove up and picked up my ball and went to the one that was up further because they never used it. But boy, I was proud. I mean, I had some really good shots. If we were just like playing around, I'd have been like, heck yeah, okay.
Let's
take that all day.
Yeah.
Instead, I was over there picking it up, driving to the one that was further up.
Well, I did lose. I think I ended up losing like three or four balls.
Oh, I lost more than that.
No, I lost about four.
I lost way more. I went through sleeves.
That's a pretty unforgiving course.
Unforgiving.
Yeah.
Yes. President's Reserve, unforgiving.
Yeah. I told one of the guys, I think it was Jared. He was the really good one. I don't know if he might have been an amateur or a pro. That's my bad for not asking whether he was an amateur or pro. But I end up out because I hit right before him on one of the tee shots. And so I hit mine. And after I had just said, you know, I only brought so many balls and I only plan on using – you know, losing maybe two or three. So I got to be very careful on how I hit these balls off the tee, especially. So I went, boom, knocked mine, lost it. Then Jared came up and he hit his and knocked his like, I don't know, it's 300. I'm like, dude, I could have just let you hit and save my ball. So that was the running joke. Right? Yeah. You hit first, and then I see if I need to hit.
Yeah. I could have done that a lot.
Well, I mean, we could have done. Yeah. I mean, I talked to Pat Sperduto, and he said that happened on his. Evidently, he had a really good group, too. And he said, you know, the one guy, he said the minute he would hit, he'd be like, okay, I'll be in the cart. You know, it's just like, I was like, but why? Why'd you? You should at least still go on and hit. Like, there was many times I was like, I went up there knowing. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter what I do because I know I'm not going to have the best ball. But you might as well get your swings in. I mean, that's why you're out there, right? I didn't pass on any shots. I probably should have now that I know the outcome and how many balls that I lost. But, yeah, I didn't pass on any shots when I could have passed on a lot because you just knew, right? There were just shots. It was like, yep, no chance I'm going to do better than that. None. But I went on and shot. But it was fun. It was a lot. I had a great – I mean, by the way, fantastic weather, right? It could not have been a better day.
Awesome, man.
A little breeze, not a cloud in the sky, not too hot. You know, unbelievable course and for a great cause. Does it get any better than that? I mean, that's the ultimate win, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's perfect the way weather.
Well done.
And well done by Cromwell Media and everybody who partnered up to make yesterday a huge, huge success. And all the people that agreed to be out there and, you know, entertain people. and be celebrity golfers and golf with these, you know, with people. And I know the feedback I've gotten, everybody had a great time. So it was a, all in all, it was a fantastic day.
Well, it started off good with Willie, great with Willie Shoes. We got a chance to laugh at that. First,
you guys,
and foremost,
I do want to thank you guys for setting me straight, because can you imagine going out with that crew? All right, these guys are, you know, 18 to 23, 24 years old, and this guy walks out with duct tape on the shoes.
Yeah.
These guys are big time. These guys are good golfers, right? This guy's all conference. He's like a tremendous. Look him up. He's really, really good. And I walk out there with the duct tape. I just want to thank you guys for, you know, shaming me and say, Willie, get real, get your head together, go to the pro shop and get some shoes. Thank you for making me do that.
Do you want me to put this in perspective, what you would have looked like? We're at the playground. We're at the park.
Yeah.
We're playing pickup basketball, and you just walked up in jeans.
Yeah. Okay? Jeans is a penny loafers.
just jeans alone is enough. Like,
I got next.
Hey, I got next. And then everybody's like, yeah, no, you're not. You're not going to be next.
That can be a good move.
Some jeans and some Crocs.
Yeah, you walked up to the park for a pickup basketball game and said, I got next with jeans.
Yeah.
That's what you would have looked like. Yeah. If you would have joined that foursome with duct tape on both golf
shoes. Now,
if
I could play, then it wouldn't matter. Yeah. But I knew going in, you know, I can't play a lick anyway. Now, at the pickup court, you can pull a surprise attack, right? If you come in not looking like a player, but you can actually ball.
I'm not picking you if you got on jeans.
Yeah. I know, that's
everybody
gonna
find
out.
Nobody's going to find out.
Yeah, everybody's going to be like, no.
You got to make sure that you're guaranteed to get in the game.
They're going
to
be like, no, like the Charles Barkley commercial.
Crocs, you can stay over there, Crocs.
That would be your name for the whole time at the park. Crocs.
Hey, Crocs. You know what your punishment is. You got Crocs. No. All right. We'll come back. We'll head over to West End. We'll talk to Corbs. We'll do that next. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. Let's head over to West End. Let's talk in with the fantastic baseball coach, Tim Corbin, affectionately known as Corbs. Tim, how we doing?
Good, D. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. You know, I hearken back to our interview with you last year before, I guess it was after the series against Arkansas, and you were, or we were just talking to you about Arkansas. That's what it was. We were talking to you about Arkansas, and I'll never forget when you said, man, that's just a different place. And you know what? It lived up to form again this past weekend.
Yeah, it is a different place, and for a lot of different reasons. But
right.
I would say that atmosphere is incredible. I mean, the people are like, I would say, a lot like Omaha people. They love their baseball. They love the Razorbacks, obviously, and they just they come out, and it's a atmosphere you don't get to see very often. It's like a carnival, and from their game management to their PA to the music to the fan experience. And we drove up each time, and I'm telling you, D, there's a line that was about a quarter of a mile waiting to get in the stadium. This is 3 hours before we got into each game. It was incredible. So, you know, you get 13,000 people. That's a very developed part of the country now, you know, with Fayetteville and Rogers, Arkansas, with Walmart. There's a lot of corporations that are in there, much to, you know, last time we were there was 17, so it was kind of extraordinary to me how much change has taken place in Fayetteville and Rogers and Springdale. I mean, that's a whole lot bigger than you think. So, it was obviously one, we feel good about that, but it was a special place.
Well, on your checklist of things that you'll experience, so you left out wildlife, so you didn't include that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I stay in my lane when it comes to wildlife.
I would, too, if I was that fan. I would not have done what he did. Bad idea.
Yeah, wildlife can go a lot of different directions, as you know.
That's right. Well, that's a good point. So, in all seriousness, what did By the way, it was a fantastic week, right? You had the come from behind win with a big ninth to push it, I think, into extras against Indiana State and get the win in 11 innings. You had the three-run homer on Friday night. So
yeah.
Exciting baseball games, exciting week. So what did that do for the mentality this time of year, having some come-from-behind wins? And also, what did a weekend like you had in Arkansas, a very, very tough environment, really good team, and taking two of three do for your team?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about wildlife, but wild baseball life really for us, because, you know, you go Tuesday into that extra inning game, and I don't think Friday happens without Tuesday. You know, it's like we don't really play that well on Tuesday from an offensive standpoint. We pitched better as the game went on, and we played some pretty good defense, played some very good defense, actually. But the way we won that game, it had to come back from a four-run deficit in the ninth and then win at the end. I truly felt like it helped us Tuesday, because you get into Tuesday and we jump out to a 5-0 lead, and then they catch up, and it's not like you think you're going to hold them down forever, because you can't. They're too good offensively. But then we just keep the game as it is, and then we win it with Enrique's home run, which was just such a good swing. It was a two-strike swing, and all he was trying to do was put the ball in play. And it was in a situation where it looked like the inning collapsed, because we had guys in second and third with no outs, and we weren't able to score them. And he gets up there with two outs, and you talk about emotional flexibility. You're going from a low to a high, or a high to a low to a high again. And I think that's where we were. But that was it was certainly a big win. Thomas Schultz did a great job in three innings and shutting them down at the end. So you beat Arkansas on Friday night, you're doing something. Saturday, we just didn't pitch well at all. I mean, we didn't give ourselves a chance. We played pretty well offensively again, jumped off to a good start, but we let him back into the game. And then, as you know, that the seven-inning game, because we had to finish the rain-shortened game on Sunday, which meant that Sunday's original game falls to seven innings. And Carter Holton, the freshman from Georgia, just pitched a complete game, just kind of an unbelievable game for him and our team, and played pretty good offense there. That was the best game of all for us in all three phases.
Well, you literally led me to my next – I was going to ask you to – tell us a little bit more about Carter Holton, mm-hmm. a freshman who pitched his tail off on Sunday in the shutout win.
Andrew Allegretta had a stat last night about what he's done in the last three games against Texas A&M. I forget the other team. It just slips me, but it shouldn't. And Arkansas. But, you know, as far as Arkansas was concerned, just being able to keep them off the scoreboard is special. But he got the leadoff outs in every inning with the exception of the last one, and we weren't really going to pitch him in the seventh, but he really deserved it. And he's just a strike thrower. He's a strike thrower with a good fastball. It's a swing and miss fastball at times. He can land the breaking ball, and he knows how to slow the ball down with a changeup. So he's a three-pitch guy. He's not that big if you look at him, but he's nimble. He's a good athlete, and he's bulldog. He just keeps coming. I mean, you can hit him, but that's not going to affect him. He's a guy who can take a punch, and I think that's the thing I like about him the most. But what he's done over the last 4 weeks has been special for our team. Brownie made an adjustment with him, and it's really helped him out. So, he was pitcher of the week this week, and he deserved it.
We're talking to Tim Corbin, head coach for the Vanderbilt Commodores. And, Corbs, I want to ask you about just the way the game has gone the last couple of years, where you've got, generally speaking, and I was talking to John Hines about this for the college hockey game, it's very similar, where the general college hockey team that's really good and the college baseball team is getting a little bit older because guys stay around a little bit longer. And so that makes it's got to make it tougher on some of your young, talented freshmen that we're just talking about with Holton, and then you've got a couple other guys that are now having to pitch some really key innings. Christian Little is still a really young guy. How tough is that now compared to, say, 4-8 years ago?
I'd say four. COVID did that. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, without COVID, you wouldn't have this situation right now. And I knew it was coming. I spoke to Buster Olney, and I said, it's going to be a very dangerous situation for college baseball if they give those kids a year. I was not in favor of it. And I'm always in favor of something that allows a kid to play, but you know what? Everyone lost a year. Let's face it. Everyone lost a year no matter what they were doing. Ted Williams lost time. Willie Mays lost time. Jackie Robinson lost time. You know, they ended up serving in the war. So it was like one of those situations where if you give these kids an extra year, they're going to stunt the growth of the high school kid who's coming in, and that's exactly what's happened. Now, it's good for some of those kids, but hell, we played South Carolina, and we faced a kid named Brant Belk. He's going on age 25, and Christian Little was facing him, pitching against him. Christian Little's 18. So it's like a 6 or 7 year difference, and I don't know what your calendar says, but when a kid's 23, 24 years old, he probably should be out of college. I mean, right? We should be moving males along and not stunting their growth and keeping them in college. And I think that's where we're at. We're just a lot of old baseball players. 2019 was the last time everyone was age appropriate. Now you look at the best teams in the country and they've got 23, 24, 25 year old kids. And those kids are typically, if they're playing professional baseball, they're in high A or double A or triple A for that matter, and some in the big league. So it's an older game and it makes it tough. I'll tell you what I've seen from a pitching standpoint. I've never seen as many 8, 9, and 10 pitch at bats in the college game ever at any point. And it's what it is older kids just being able to manage zone and foul balls off. And what it does is it just, you can tell the offensive scores this year in the SEC are a whole lot higher, and it's because of that. Just got older players playing.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. You've got a big game tonight against Middle. You've got LSU coming up this weekend in a home series. So I know this is a difficult thing for you to talk about, Corbs, because you've got the committee is going to decide. You don't want to sound like you're lobbying, but it seems like you guys have really started to come on. You've got some big road wins against good teams. Back in position, I'm sure the team's goal is to get the highest seed possible, which would mean hosting a regional. Do you think you're there, or do you think you've got to finish strong here to make sure you nail that down?
Yeah, we just got to keep playing good baseball. I think a lot of a lot of things that the committee decides upon is certainly something that is out of our hands. So what we need to do is just play the best baseball we can, and we've played good baseball down the stretch. And I know that end of the year performance is a big deal for them. That's kind of one of the components of picking teams. It's how you do in conference, obviously, which our conference gives a lot of opportunity for even below 500 teams. And then RPI, certainly, out of conference, strength of schedule, which ours right now I think is 3, and just how you play down the stretch. So, tonight, as you mentioned, tonight's a really good team. These guys are road-tested. I think they've won their last 8 road games, and they're certainly on a streak right now. And Jim Thoman, who I've known Jim ever since he was an assistant at North Carolina State and South Carolina for Ray Tanner, so I've recruited with him for years and recruited his son, who's going to LSU. He's done a good job with his team, and they've got a chance to win their conference. They play Southern Miss this weekend, so we both have very important games coming up this weekend, but at the same time, this game is important for Middle Tennessee State, and it's important for Vanderbilt, and we need to stay sharp. And I think for us, you want to play good games this time of year. You just want to play good people, and we're playing another good opponent tonight.
No question. Corbs, as we let you go, I flipped on the TV last night. The Giants are playing the Rockies. You've got Kurt Casale, 2 home runs. Mike Yastrzemski hits a game-winning homer, or what turned out to be the game-winning homer, and you got Antoine Richardson coaching first base. So the first game I flip on, there those guys are, 3 of your guys. So a little mark in history there, doing some good things.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Those guys have really turned out well there. Yaz certainly had a good career, and Kurt, I think Kurt can hang around for as long as he wants to because he does a good job behind the plate. But I'm glad he's hitting because the bats he was using at the beginning of the year had a hole in the barrel, so he wasn't hitting. Glad he hit a couple home runs left.
He's on a roll right now, though. He is zoomed up there. He's going to get some more playing time now.
Yeah, he is. He is because they're bringing Joey Bart up now, and so that's good for Kurt to kind of mentor him. It's ironic that Yaz and Casale are together on that team, too, because they've played their whole career here together. They played summer ball together up in Kituat in the Cape Cod League and now joining hands again. So those guys have been together ever since they started here.
That's outstanding stuff. Yeah, outstanding stuff. Tim, always appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. Best of luck tonight against Middle. I think first pitch is at 6 o'clock, and then you've got a big one against LSU this weekend as well. Thanks for doing this, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, good talking to you guys. Thanks always.
All right, Tim Corbin. Corbs, he is so good. Big weekend again for Vanderbilt as they are coming down the stretch of their regular season, getting ready to suit up and head to Hoover for the SEC tournament, which is just around the corner. And then we'll be talking about regionals and super regionals and the College World Series. A lot more to get to on the other side here on the DDC. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll have a pair of tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers at the Ryman this week. That's coming up here very, very soon. Very soon. So be listening for that. Tim Corbin. This is the time of year when it starts getting really fun with college baseball. They're starting to wind things down. So what do we think? How big, you heard Corbs talk about it, how big was 2 of 3 in Fayetteville for them? Because they've kind of had an up and down year. Vanderbilt's standards are so high, right? Anything, when they're not in the top 10, it's like, oh, they're down. It's like, well, you know, they kind of lost two important pitchers last year. They were kind of good. Kid that Leiter and Rocker, they're pretty good. Those are not easy players to replace, but obviously Tim Corbin and his staff, I mean, they just keep funneling kids in. It's just like Nick Saban at Alabama, so next man up. But what does a series like what just happened do for them?
It does a lot. And the week before, they won 2 out of 3 at Georgia, who is also a very powerful team with high rankings. You know how that is in the SEC. It takes a special team, and Tennessee's having a special year right now, to have a gaudy record in the league. Most of the other good teams end up bopping each other around a lot, and you have a lot of teams that seem to hover around 500 or a couple games over 500 in the league, which is a good year when you get down to it. But the fans here in Nashville have gotten used to Vanderbilt being the team that's, you know, 8 to 10 games or more over 500 in the league. And they don't have that kind of team this year. And part of the reason is what I asked Tim Corbin about. They don't have a lot of 24-year-old guys on the team. He brings them in. They have their 3 years, and they move on, partially because he's getting, you know, really high-rated recruits. But other teams, other programs do benefit from having some older guys, for sure. So that's a little bit what they're fighting. This kid, Carter Holton, is an unbelievable talent, but he is only 18. He's right out of high school, and he's starting to really come on, just like a lot of those guys that they had way back. But the difference is you're facing, on the average, a little bit of an older team around the country. You know, not saying anybody specifically, but that's part of the challenge. But to answer your question, Darren, their RPI now is number 3. Their strength of schedule in the country is number 3. So even though their record isn't as gaudy, they're just barely now over 500 in the league, I think that they should be able to host a regional. I don't know that they're going to be a national seed, which means they would be guaranteed to host all the way through to Omaha if they kept winning like they have the last few years. But I think for a while that was a little bit in jeopardy, that they would host a regional. But these last couple of weekends have really helped them. It would certainly help nail it down if they can win a series against LSU this weekend. LSU is another, you know, it's LSU. They're not a dominating team, but they're a darn good SEC team. And Middle Tennessee, by the way, they've won 6 in a row. Mm-hmm. They're having a pretty good year. So they got quality opponents this week at home to try to nail this down.
But, and I probably should have asked this to Tim, because he's been honest with us over the years about this. This is just my observation. Not been, you know, been paying attention, watched some games here and there, but overall haven't been engulfed in it. This is the time of year typically when, you know, you get a little bit more free time, and so you can take in a lot more. Just overall, I don't think the conference is as strong as it's been in the past, right? I would say,
I don't know about that.
Fair to say the conference is down a tick?
Well, let's just look at the RPI. Number one, Tennessee. Number three, Vanderbilt. Number four, Auburn. Number six, Georgia. Number 15, Florida. Number 21, Texas A&M. 26, Arkansas, but Arkansas might win the West when it's all over because they have a, you know, a shaky non-conference schedule. If they're down, it's a hair, it's a notch. There's probably some preseason expectations for some teams that they haven't lived up to, but I don't know if I would subscribe. You know, we'll see what happens in the postseason. I always feel like the SEC teams, they're going to end up with three in Omaha, as usual. It's just a matter of which three. That's how I feel about it. But how do you guys feel about the a big picture question there? You heard Tim Corbin saying it. Hey, look, everybody lost a year of their lives in whatever field you're in because of the pandemic. So he disagreed with allowing all the kids to come back and creating the logjam and the stunting of growth. You know, my son's a 10th grader. I'm hoping this kind of shakes out by the time he's a senior, but I know it's creating a different pattern, a different pathway for a lot of high school kids. And it's all sports. It's not just baseball, but college sports, you have this logjam. It's a big concern for coaches. How do I get out of it? You know, how do I get back to the old system, or are we just sitting forever with the transfer portal, people going in, coming out of the transfer portal, you have older teams. It's sort of changing. You have people going postgraduate or doing different things after high school to wait before they go to college, wait for a roster spot to open up. So are you guys, are you concerned about this at all? It sort of happened without us really looking at it. But it's happening in a lot of sports. I don't know if I like that.
I mean, basketball, I think, will shake itself out because those kids, I mean, they usually leave early anyway. So I
Well,
think,
the top
yeah,
guys do.
The top
but
guys,
the regular dude.
I think it will kind of shake itself out. The regular guys that are – I think it will help them. I think it will get I'm only talking basketball at this point in time. I think it will get basketball back to where people – enjoyed it where they can see older teams, where they can get used to that older team and see an actual older team make it through the tournament and potentially win.
That's like Loyola Chicago.
Exactly.
That was how they won. They had older guys.
Teams, yeah.
And so that is an advantage. So how did, like in philosophy, now not everybody's 18, but when freshmen are competing, 18, 19, is it right that they should have to play a lot of 23, 24, 25-year-old guys?
I think there has to be this sort of age. And it's hard to
Should there be a
say,
limit? See, that's a tough
limit.
Thing.
Yeah, because
you have guys go to the military and come back.
And come back and
you have guys
play.
Go on missions.
Well, look at BYU.
Mormon missions and come back. Yeah, yeah.
They have 26-year-olds playing on their team.
They do.
25-year-olds.
But here's the difference with that. I talked to Kevin Dyson about this. Of course, he played at Utah, so he's familiar with how things work out there. He said that it's an advantage that you're older, but those guys don't play football for 2 years.
Exactly.
So they haven't played. So that's sort of the equalizer. They are older, but they've been out of the sport for a while. It's a tough question to answer.
Because you understand both sides, right? But, I mean, the bottom line is it does make a huge difference. I mean, we see it all the way down to our level. I mean, I think the dumbest rule, just my personal opinion, we've got going in these tournaments is the great exception. And by the way, you can spot the great exception kids at our age, at 10, all day long.
Of course.
And I just think, what difference does it make what grade they're in? Like, how old are they? If this is a 10U division, who gives a damn what grade they're in? Okay, why do they get an exception? They're 11 years old.
Yeah,
I don't care that they're in fourth grade, right? I mean, who cares?
Oh, yeah. That makes
a huge difference.
A huge difference at that age.
I'm telling you, typically, with a lot of these really good teams, you can bet you're going to go that roster. They're going to have one or two great exception kids on there.
It's happening a lot in high school athletics where a lot of families are holding kids back in middle school or even at a younger age, kind of projecting, hey, I want my kid to be older when he or she's in high school. But it's getting to the point where it's like more and more people are doing it, and now what we think of a high school age senior is generally a little bit older. Sometimes they're 19 years old. by the time they graduate.
And it's like, if you're holding your kid back because you're thinking, oh, maturity, all these kids are immature. They don't care if you hold them back a year or not. They're going to college at 19 and they're still immature. So a lot of people tend
and
to hold
sometimes,
them
back. I hate to say, but they're doing it for athletic
and that's
purposes.
Completely yeah. wrong. I just yeah. think that's wrong. I mean, eventually, if you are a good player, you will be a good player. It doesn't matter if you hold your kid back. If that kid ain't a good player, he might dominate, he or she may dominate that year. But as they start to move up,
it'll catch up.
It'll catch up with yeah. them. So to me, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, when I put DJ, when we started school, it was like, listen, where did he test? Oh, he tested this. Well, that's where he's going to be. But he's young. I don't care. I'm his father. I'm not worried about sports. You are. I'm not. We are not. Yeah. Marcy and I, we don't care. If he tests for this grade, this is the grade we want him in. You know, yeah. eventually all that other stuff will shake out.
That's the way it
exactly.
should be.
Yeah. All that other stuff will shake out. But parents are doing it, and now you're starting to see it, you know, because of COVID in the college ranks where older guys, and it's like you want to give them that year that they lost. But then it is an advantage. So how do you kind of yeah. balance it all out?
It's yeah. still trying to sort itself out. Yeah. It really is. Because
you just don't want to tell those kids, yep. well, you missed, so no, you got to leave. No, I mean, they
that
do
was
have
hard.
A right
that was hard.
To finish that last year.
But all the high school kids in 2020 in the spring, mm-hmm. they had no season.
Yeah.
Like I don't care what state you're in. Now, varying states, some states missed the whole next fall, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe even the next winter. That didn't happen here because yeah. Tennessee, a lot of the southern states were a little more aggressive getting back on the field and on the court. But let's just take the spring season of 2020, NCAA, everything. Everybody lost that year. So does everybody deserve to get back that year? Well, that was a tough call. And they said, yeah, we want to let people get. The high school guys didn't get that year back.
No, know? They didn't.
So that was Tim Corbin's point. Look, everybody lost a year. Yep. So it's right. why the college kids only.
We'll come back, wrap up the first hour next. Well, you hear the music. How about caller 6 right now? Pair of tickets to see George Thorogood and the Destroyers at the Ryman this Thursday. 615-737-1025. So if you can go to the Ryman this Thursday evening, see George Thorogood, caller 6. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com. Back here on the DDC, I was just reading this during the break. Lionel Messi has acquired 35% of Inter Miami, the MLS team down there, and he will join the team in 2023.
Hmm.
How about that?
Owner and player.
Yeah. 35% of the team and will join the team in 2023. On our text line, driven by Wilson, as their phone line blows up. Our text line, John the Mailman says, why the college kids? Another year of tuition, Willie. That's why.
That's a good point. A lot of people
well, if you get a scholarship,
way.
I mean.
You know what yeah. I mean?
But well, there are a lot of athletes that ended up paying the tuition. I remember talking to Chris Massaro right in the throes of this, right? And he said, a lot of kids will move on because they're just ready to move on.
Exactly.
You know, so, and tuition is a part of it, right? If you're graduated and you've been paying, your family's been paying tuition, if you don't have a full scholarship, which a lot of college athletes are not on full scholarship, they might be on partial or academic, something mm-hmm. like that. But there is a point where it's like, it's time to move forward with your life if you're not going on to the pros. You know, yeah. our perspective here on the show a lot of times is, who's going on to the next level? You know, who's going to get drafted? Where are they getting drafted? Are they going pro? That's the dream. But, of course, the huge percentage of college athletes, they're done after college. They got to move on with their yeah. lives somewhere anyway. But it's a good answer, though.
If that's why you want to keep the kids in because of tuition – or the kids are leaving. I can understand kids leaving because they don't want to pay the extra tuition, and I get it. You know, it's just, you know, we could talk till we turn blue in the face about tuition. I just think it's too high across the board everywhere.
Tell me about it.
But if you've already proven yourself and, you know, they grant you that extra year, but you got to pay for it, I would leave too. It's like, why am I staying here? You know, I spent 4 years or 5 years not paying tuition. And then on that sixth year, they want me to pay tuition. Nah, I'm out of here. Especially if you've already graduated. Why are you staying?
Yeah. By the way, we can just to let you know, there's been a winner. So now the phone line's been blowing up. So we do have a winner. We'll pass that along here in just a second. But switch gears a little bit in the second hour. By the way, Jonathan Hutton will join us from Outkick at high noon. We'll talk Titans with him at Hill, a.k.a. Skillsy, as we'll talk a little Preds in the final hour of the program. We'll come back and discuss a little bit on the hockey side as they get ready to get things cranked up. I just see where Mitch Marner's car was, or he was carjacked.
Yeah, at gunpoint. Mm. It was bad.
At gunpoint.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't read close enough. Was it, did they know who he was? Or was
just, I don't know. I mean,
my guess is they didn't know who he was.
Is that the weirdest? Well,
I think it was just a nice car.
I was just saying, it could be the nice car thing. But in Toronto, you know, I mean, you just, I'm sure they're, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs up there right now with, you know, again, the early exit. So you just never know. But I didn't read into it. I just figured, yeah, probably. Just nice car?
Yeah.
Wrong place?
It couldn't have been the wrong place.
You know,
he was at a place he was supposed to be in.
Well,
somebody just decided they wanted to take somebody's expensive car.
Yeah. So Tampa and Florida will get things going. That's going to be a fun series.
Oh, man.
That is going to be an awesome series. That gets round two started tonight. Blues Ave. So tonight is a great night. If you're into the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you're looking for two good series to check out, I think these are the two that have my attention. I'll just say that.
Well, just the drama, the Battle of Alberta and the Battle of Florida, just the rivalry, that's going to be pretty special. I think all four, I think Colorado-St. Louis is going to be a great series, too. I'm really curious to see how powerful Colorado looks, and this is where too, if St. Louis can push them, Darren, what you have been saying for a long time, they might start feeling the pressure, right? This is where they haven't been able to get past the Avalanche. The Avalanche have a better team than St. Louis, but St. Louis is a powerful team. That's going to be interesting. I think the Hurricanes are going to carve up the Rangers. That's just my gut feeling. I just think they're that good. But when you have Shesterkin, he's the kind of goalie that if he goes on a roll, that could level the playing field a little bit.
Yeah, that quite honestly, I think if it weren't for the injuries and the concussion, I think probably Penguins should have beat them, right? I mean,
the Rangers were fortunate to get back in there. Yeah.
So two very fun series tonight to get things started in round two, Lightning, the Panthers, Blues, and Avalanche. We'll come back and get into a little Preds talk, like, you know, what's next? We'll kind of weigh in on what's next to begin the second hour. Right now I'm going to weigh in by telling you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years. They've been helping me for years, and they can help you. And I know they've already helped a lot of you. And it may be weight loss management with the warm temperatures here, nice weather, pool's about ready to start opening. You know, maybe you want to shed a couple unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. But, man, does it get tougher as we get older? Well, their experienced staff be more than happy to discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Have you had your levels checked lately? Have you been feeling off lately? Have you not had the same drive or energy that you're used to? Or maybe you've had some mood swings. You're like, what is going on? I don't feel like myself. Well, get your levels checked. They may have dipped. And they may have dipped to an all-time low. It does happen as we get older, and that can affect you in one or all of these areas. And they'll discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.